most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Facts and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip.
Welcome back for another week of Max and Friends. Greg and I, Tamara Montana, Greg Montana, we are very excited to be back here on LA Talk Radio with Max and Friends this week to continue one of the most stimulating conversations about forgiveness. And before we dive into that topic, we just want to give a shout out to Max, who is on his way back from Europe. He had a wonderful, successful show over there. So we want to send him lots of love and wish him safe travels back here. So, wow, we're very excited because we have got Dr. Maya starting us off with a Vedic forecast, and she's going to be talking with us here for about 7 minutes as she has prepared every single month to let people know what's happening in our astrological stars. So Ronan, go ahead and bring up Dr. Maya and we'll hear what she has to say.
Hi everyone, this is Maya from VedicAstroLounge.com on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, bringing you Vedic Astrological Forecast for September 2012. Vedic astrology is the language of planets and stars in the cosmos. All planets in the sky are constantly in motion. Monthly astrological forecast tells you how the current planetary transits can impact you and the humanity in general. Though it is important to know the impact of planets based on current temporary transits, I would like to stress the importance of getting a natal reading based on your birth chart. Because only through your own birth chart you can get to understand your own individual perceptions and attitudes towards the energies of planets and stars in the sky. It helps us to unravel our own karmic tendencies that lead to suffering. If you would like an in-depth analysis of your birth chart, or if you would like a guidance with any personal situations you're currently experiencing in your life, please feel free to reach me at VedicAstroLounge.com. The planetary positions on the Vedic sky for the month of September 2012 is as follows. Sun is currently transiting Leo, but moves into Virgo on September 16th. Mercury is currently transiting Leo and moves into Virgo and gains exaltation on September 13th. Venus is currently transiting Cancer and moves into Leo on September 27th. Mars is currently transiting Libra and moves into Scorpio on September 28th. Jupiter continues to stay in Taurus. Rahu, the north node of the moon, is in Scorpio. Ketu, the south node of the moon, is in Taurus. For the past month and a half, we experienced the strong energies of conjunction of Mars and Saturn in Libra. As we know, these energies triggered some violent incidents across the world. These two planets will continue to move farther away during this month, and the effects of those two planets being in the same sign will diminish progressively in the next couple of weeks when Mars moves into Libra. There are no major conjunctions happening in the month of September, but the highlight of this month would be the exaltation of Saturn in Libra and exaltation of Mercury in Virgo. Exaltation is a positional strength conferred to a planet in specific houses, and they gain tremendous power during their presence in these houses. The effects of planets in exaltation are strongly felt, and the nature of these effects vary depending on your birth moon sign. Here's the astrological forecast for the month of September 2012 for the 12 Vedic moon signs. Aries, this is your month. Mercury is moving into your sixth house. There will be a strong interest within you to have some effective communication with others that will help you to improve any minor or major health issues that are bothering you currently. Taurus, this is your month. Mercury is moving into your fifth house. This is a great month to focus on creative self-expression. You will experience a heightened creativity this month, and sharing of many intellectual conversations with friends and partners will help you in your creativity. Gemini, Mercury is moving into your fourth house. Your thoughts will move towards your family and loved ones, and perhaps in resolving any domestic concerns. Cancer, Mercury is moving into your third house. You'll find yourself traveling, making short trips to visit friends you have been in communication with for a long time. Leo, Mercury is moving into your second house. This transit will bring you many new ideas that will improve your financial status. Anything related to communications will bring new opportunities that will increase the financial gains during this time. Virgo, Mercury is moving into your first house. During this transit, you'll find yourself learning to express your concerns and perspective towards life situations without expecting it to be validated by others. Libra, Mercury is moving into your 12th house. This movement will help you to reflect on your past, quietly contemplate and meditate on it. Scorpio, Mercury is moving into your 11th house. During this transit, you will experience very intellectual and friendly atmosphere in your social and professional life. Sagittarius, Mercury is in your 10th house. This is an excellent time to come up with ideas and strategies that will help you achieve your professional goals. Capricorn, Mercury is moving into your 9th house. You will see that your focus and interests shift from mundane things of life to philosophical and spiritual aspects of life during this transit. Your communications with others will reflect just that. Aquarius, Mercury is moving into your 8th house. During this transit, you will find yourself having deep conversations with others about intimacy and relationships, and this will help you to resolve issues related to that. Pisces, Mercury is moving into your 7th house. 7th house is a house of relationships. This transit will bring situations into your life that will improve your communication with others at work and in your personal relationships. And that brings me to the end of the forecast. But before I leave, I would like to say, every moment of time comes with a certain truth to it, which can be perceived by understanding the energies all around us. Our own energy is influenced by energies of other living beings around us. Perception is the key. We are currently in a time where our humanity is experiencing a surge of energy that is healing and uplifting to anyone that is open to receiving. So it is important that we break out of all the barriers that we have built up around us and open up to the healing energies that are reaching us from far beyond. Have a beautiful time, everyone. Namaste.
So we're on with Tamara tonight. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. And we talked about this last week. And last week we were talking specifically about how is it, why is it that people who hold a grudge have so much trouble forgiving? And Tamara, are you there?
I'm here. It's good to be back. Yeah. I had just a little lapse in connection, but I am with you and excited to dive into this topic. Because one of the things Dr. Maya was just talking about is those different dimensions, being able to tap in and to understand what's going on with our behavior, what's going on with our emotions, and, you know, why are certain things showing up for us, this creative, authentic expression that has a need now. And, you know, thank you so much, Greg, bringing this topic here to the forefront with deep questions about what's going to work in, not only with what we can do consciously, but understanding our astrological, moon, star, sun, all those things. Everything helps. So good. Go.
So the thing that I'm most interested in, because, I'm a guy that's committed to justice, and so many people are like that. You think of, bullies. Why is it that a bully bullies somebody? And basically, they've got some sense of responsibility, like it's their job, and someone has been bullying them. So people that aren't forgiven, and this is what we just talked about last week, people that are not forgiven tend to really hold a grudge and have a lot of angst and feel like they got to act out on other people. So I mentioned last week that I was so healed when I felt forgiven. But you're the master of this subject. You've got you're a licensed psychotherapist. You've studied criminal mentalities. You were a social worker for 11 years. You were a human sexuality professor for 7 years. And as an engineer, it is absolutely mind-boggling to me that people actually forgive, because it makes no sense. I'm the guy that when my father, my stepdad was being perpetrated by a contractor, I called up the social workers, I called the state attorney, and we had that guy like in jail and working off the debt that he had incurred with my father. So and people feel good about that. You see people watch videos where people fall or they get hurt and they laugh like there's some cosmic justice there because they've been hurt in their lives. So talk to us a little bit about this meanness that we all kind of carry around, where we celebrate when we watch these videos, even America's Favorite Videos. People are getting hurt all the time and we're celebrating. I can't watch those. Why is it that we're mean, and what can we do to forgive?
Well, that's very good. Question, Greg. I'm so glad you bring that up, because one of the things that comes to mind is that hurt people hurt people. So you think, and you were talking about bullies, and you were talking about some cosmic justice. When we watch people getting hurt on TV, there's some kind of what we call it in psychology, it's called a tragic lift. When we see someone else hurt, somehow there is a psychological lift on the inside of us that, oh my God, thank God it's not me, or I'm not alone, or it's somebody else. But that is one of the lower dimensions of existence, when it's like this tit for tat and, somehow you've got to get even, or when you're attacking that, or you're defending. It's all this lower levels of fighting, just constantly fighting for a sense of importance or a sense of feeling secure in this world. Because when you feel so insecure, you're going to hurt other people. And, that brings up a really good point in regards to forgiveness, because one of the things about forgiveness, I was really thinking about this last week, is that it's one thing to just say the words, and it may not drop down into the cells of your being as if you actually mean it. And it's another thing to actually be moved by it and actually live inside of that space where you're able to experience forgiveness and then be able to forgive. And I think one of the most important cycles that you can go through is being able to acknowledge the pain, or be able to acknowledge the injustice, be able to acknowledge exactly like what you're talking about. It doesn't come full circle when, we spoke last week, if somebody's been raped, and to turn around and be able to say, oh, I forgive you. It's not that instantaneous. However, it's possible. That is possible. But one of the things that's so important is to be able to honor the experience of hurt that people do go through. So to be able to say, what I resent about this experience or this interaction with this person is this.
Well, be able to
talk about it.
I'll rewind for a second, because you said you're talking about a tragic lift. And my experience of myself, when I went through this this experience, and it wasn't an experience of forgiving. It was an experience of being forgiven. You know, I think all the road rage out there, people are walking around and they're feeling unforgiven and they're feeling this angst in their body. And they're just waiting for somebody to just get close to them and they're going to flip them off and pull out a gun. And this is all related to the same subject of this tragic lift. And it's called a lift, by the way, because that's what it feels like. When I experienced being forgiven, and I experienced it as something that was practically spiritual or at least or religious or at least spiritual, and the minute it happened for me where I felt like I was forgiven, I immediately stopped judging and criticizing and condemning and evaluating people. I mean, you know, there was a guy at work that I was just really struggling with. And I was like, the second I really sat down and analyzed my overreaction, like road rage, you know, like coworker rage, what I realized was, man, I got some crap in my system. And you talked me through some processes, and you have an actual technique, right? It's like a 5-step technique for getting to the bottom of this. But I want you to go through that. But first, I want to talk about this like tragic lift. Why is it that we carry, you know, like you said, hurt people? Why is it that when somebody's hurt, it isn't just, you know, somebody walks up and says, will you forgive me? There's a huge difference between feeling in their system like they're going to let go of it and forgive them and just, you know, flipping off, turning around and said, yes, I forgive you.
Right, right. Well, and that brings up a really good point. What happens when you squeeze an orange? Does grapefruit juice come out or cranberry juice?
No.
Or
you get orange juice.
When you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. Okay, so that's the same thing with us. When we get squeezed, when we get pushed, when we get cut off on the freeway, when we're pushed to the wall, what is inside us is what is going to come out. You know,
that
it's the same
brilliant.
Thing. Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that, you know, alcohol can be a lubricant for what's inside as well. You know, so when we're pushed up against the wall, you know, what is it that comes out of us? And if we've got unresolved grief, unresolved resentment, unresolved regret, that's exactly what's going to come out. One of the quotes was last week, too, is that, you know, Mark Twain, he said, you know, forgiveness is the fragrance that is released by the flower from the heel that has crushed it. You know, what forgiveness is can be a sweetness that is oozed out from a person who has experienced forgiveness themselves, who knows
yes,
that by the
no,
by the grace of God, there go I, for all of
yeah,
us.
Yes, but there is, yeah, but there is no, see, you're talking about this after the fact, and the listeners on this line, they have not experienced this yet, so they're still at this place, and I'll give you a perfect example. Today, I was with your sister has a bulldog, right? Mm-hmm. No, a boxer. And his name's Bo, and Bo the boxer is this guy. He loves to wrestle, and he's kind of like, that's why they call him boxers. They love to roughhouse a little bit. Well, our dog is a little Yorkie poo, and he's a sweetheart, but, you know, he doesn't like being picked on by a much bigger dog. What I noticed was happening is as I was roughhousing with Bo, he was picking on the little dog to the extent that I was picking on him. So it was like I would push him and nudge him a little bit because he kind of like, but instead of like coming back at me because Benji was sitting right there, the little dog, he was turning his aggression on the little dog. Now this is being passed around everywhere until somewhere somebody breaks the chain and forgives and says, you know what, the buck stops here. I'm no longer going to be the person that passes this around, because it's exactly like you said. When I was going around feeling the angst, and I think it's a perpetual thing where you feel this anxiety, this sort of edge, and all of a sudden you get squeezed, all this, if you got nasty juice inside of unforgiveness and anger and resentment, all that juice is going to come out. If you are walking around with a sense of peace and you get squeezed, there's this sense of this fragrance of this flower that comes out. So, you know, you have experienced this. I know you. You're very forgiving. I'll do things, and like you might get upset, but then 5 minutes later, you've let it go. And I'm like, how does she do that? I have carried grudges for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And think about this, because we were talking about this earlier too, is that all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. That you, what you do to another you do to yourself. And part of it is selfish. Greg, I have to tell you, it is very selfish to forgive because guess what? I don't want to miss out on the gifts. There are so many gifts, a storehouse of treasure that is just waiting to be bestowed on me. And if I held out because I have some axe to grind, or I've got some justice to vindicate, or somebody's got to have merit with me in order to engage, you know, I miss out enormously. I mean, there's a wealth of experience because of being able to, having learned to let things go, that, oh my gosh, there are gifts underneath them. Because part of the illusion is that if you forgive someone, there's just going to be more shit you're going to have, or more stuff you're going to have to put up with that's underneath, that people, that you're just going to, it's going to be ongoing. So you might as well protect yourself right now, which that is a lie. That is a lie, and that is an illusion. That just by forgiving, you also open up a storehouse and a door that says, hey, you know, I was thinking about you the other day, and hey, you know what? I can't run this business anymore. I'm going to hand you the keys to the kingdom because I didn't stand in a place of judge and jury, that everybody's just doing what they're doing because that's what they're doing. And we also, we spoke about last week, we left this on a cliff note, is that can atheists be forgiven? Okay, because a lot of times this has like a God connotation, which is so beautiful because God is a beautiful example of that. In that realm, in that sphere, there is no need for forgiveness.
Well, I brought up the question last week because my experience of forgiveness, and maybe I'm only in the first stages of this, but my experience of forgiveness wasn't that I was forgiving other people. My experience of forgiveness was that I was forgiven. And that was the healing that this kind of left my body. And it seemed like it was a spiritual experience, like of God, you know, like your high, whatever your higher power is, whatever you believe in, it was something so much bigger than me. Because, you know, yeah, it makes sense, you know, what is it, the saying, you know, being unforgiving is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That makes sense. And yet, reasoning forgiving doesn't work. The experience I had was that it had to go deeper into a real cathartic, deep spiritual experience. So I asked you the question, can atheists be forgiven? And you at the end of the show, when we ran out of time, you were talking about how, well, all forgiveness is self-forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So how is it, if it's self-forgiveness, that it feels like it's so much bigger than the self?
Well, and consider this. Atheists, like any one other person or soul on this entire planet, is not unforgiven. That it waits, forgiveness is for everyone. And it waits for our awakening. It waits for us to say, I'm going to take that on for me. I'm going to let go of these bricks I've been walking around with in my pockets that turn my shoulders inward and bring the weight of the world. If I'm going to stand in a position of judge and jury, if I'm going to be on the throne of ruling or dictatorship, you know, that's an enormous weight that people don't have to carry. What's extraordinary is to consider the possibility that everything is in divine order. Everything. Every circumstance, every event, every relationship, consider this possibility that nothing is by accident.
There's a huge presumption here, though, and this was the thing that really opened my eyes when I started considering the possibility that God isn't judging me, because that's where I was raised Roman Catholic, or Greek Orthodox actually, and in that church, man, guilt and shame and, you know, blame and judgment are just prevalent. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same in the Jewish religion, you know, you hear a lot of people, you know, saying, oh, you made you feel guilty all the time. So there's this sense of walking around this weight that was lifted when I considered the possibility that what I was told this divine being is, you know, I mean, because we're taught what God is from our parents or the church, because, you know, children don't have any concept of this. You got to be taught. these concepts. And it was a revelation for me, happened just a couple of weeks ago, that I was actually sitting there going, huh, what would it be like, wondering what it would be like to have a divine parent, a divine force in nature, a higher power, that wasn't holding a grudge and didn't judge, but it was just all the interpreters down here on planet Earth that were imposing those high-powered, you know, throw in the lightning bolt and wait till the day of judgment and all that. My experience of it was that just in contemplating that maybe there's some force out there that is ever forgiving and ever understanding, and that I'm oh my God, I'm forgiven. The weight, it was literally, as you describe, how'd you put it? It's lightning of the burden. What did you say?
Yes. Imagine that. Imagine not having to carry the weight of the world in you standing in the position of having to be judge and jury. The freedom that's available. And think and consider this. Imagine that then at the end of your life, there's no regrets. There's no regrets. And it's extraordinary because Greg and I just experienced a dear friend that passed this week. She was doing laundry, had a stroke, gone. Very wealthy, well-to-do, happy family who worked their whole lives and traveling the world, now finds themselves in a position just this week where he has lost his wife. And what's extraordinary is that Greg and I were both on the phone with her a week ago yesterday. And it was extraordinary what we were able to share in those few moments. It was glorious. It wasn't focused on the past. It wasn't focused on, in anything other than, wow, this is the adventure we're up to. We just got back from Russia. We were on this cruise. We can't wait to show you the pictures from this. Ed and I are going to do this now. We're going to do that. And, you know, it was amazing to connect with someone who was so alive just last week, who is now in another dimension this week. And
well,
to
I,
sit
you know,
and upon... Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny that you should mention that because I mentioned to you that I've been blessed. I was able to talk to my grandparents, each one of them before they passed, all four of them. My uncle, bizarre conversation, very deep conversation I had with him before he was killed in a car accident. And then Kathy, we had this beautiful conversation with just last week before, you know, a few days later she was gone. And I got to tell you, boy, the weight that is lifted off my shoulders, knowing that I got to say the things and the self-forgiveness that I have because I was just lucky, you know, God's blessing, whatever you want to call it, that I was able to call those people and talk to them days before they passed and tell them how much I loved them and all the appreciation I had. You know, and there are people out there right now that are carrying this weight around of feeling guilty. And I believe that guilt is imposed. It leads to a sense of responsibility. That sense of responsibility leads to judgment, and judging people and criticizing them and blaming them is all related to this lack of self-forgiveness that you talk about.
It's so true. And guilt is the most needless emotion, like what we mentioned last week, to walk around. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been through. It does not serve you or it does not serve anyone else. And as we were speaking of earlier, there is a process. There is a way of being able to address the different things that you have been through. And it's a series of five questions. And I'm going to give those to our listeners here tonight, Greg, because I think that it is so imperative at any juncture in our lifetime that we are not carrying around extra baggage that's going to prevent us from having those deep conversations, meaningful conversations with people, you know, before they pass. And none of us are guaranteed of, you know, a long life, a short life. I mean, whatever it is, make every single day as if as if it was your last. You know, I know that Steve Jobs talked about this in his commencement speech that you guys can look it up on YouTube. But he in the end, he says, don't be afraid to be foolish. You know, just don't be afraid. Just do the foolish thing. Do what is scary and have those conversations that could lead to breakthroughs in experience, because that's all we're up to. That's the only thing we're here it for, is to have a human experience. We are divine beings. We are spirit, and we are having this human experience. What is going to make it extraordinary? What's going to make it to where you're not just not going along to get along? What's going to make it to where you're just not punching in, punching out, hee-ho, just humdrum, you know, mediocrity, you know, just barely surviving? And I don't care from what socioeconomic background you come from, you know, it doesn't matter. You can be locked in a prison. And as we spoke of last week, the jailer and the prisoner, neither one of them are free. So if you are holding someone in a jail cell, by resenting who they are, what they've done to you, whatever that is, or whatever you think you've done, and you've put yourself in that jail cell, the key to letting yourself out is on the inside of the cell. Forgiveness doesn't erase what happened. Forgiveness releases the pain inside of the memory. And it's available for all of us.
Right. And yet again, talking about the beauty of it is on the other side of it for so many people on the line right now. And by the way, you mentioned that guilt is needless. And, you know, and we're here on Max and Friends, LA Talk Radio, with Tamara and Greg. And Tamara has written books about forgiveness and has had some extraordinary, you know, clients that have forgiven in huge ways. This quality of guilt that you're talking about is man-made, isn't it? I mean, there really isn't. It's it was designed by religions and governments to get people, you know, either through feeling judged by some, you know, how dare you to, you know, do this amoral or unspiritual act against God, the all-forgiving, you know, or against the government. We have a legal system that's brilliant at making us feel horribly ashamed and humiliating us and all. But it's all man-made. So honestly, if you're carrying this around, Tamara's going to share a technique with you that is brilliant. So take out your pen, write this down, go through this process. Don't just listen to it. If you're driving, pull over and actually go through this process. Tamara, what are the five steps?
Okay. And Greg, why don't you bring someone to mind that that you are still holding some unforgiveness with? Because we'll just go ahead and demonstrate this right now. Have you got someone in mind?
Okay. And I mentioned there was a coworker here. Yep, I've got somebody in mind.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so for our listening audience, the first question is, what I resent is, and fill in the blank, Greg. Just exhaust it until you're complete.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm clear about it. I'm clear about it. What I resent is how they questioned me on my role when they're so blatantly not fulfilling theirs.
Okay, good. And then question number two, what I regret is?
Yeah, what I regret is not being able to understand, being so incensed with my anger that I couldn't actually have enough peace to sit down and actually be interested in a way that they didn't feel judged.
Very good. And listeners, as you're hearing these questions that you're going to be filling in the blank, you want to keep writing with your pen until you've exhausted every ounce of venom that's on the inside. Okay? So then we're going to move on to question three. What I fondly remember is...
Well, what I fondly remember is how this person has been around for 13 years, was very serviceful, and how the owner of the business was willing to give them all kinds of freedom to go about and use company resources, because they were loyal to that founder for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that that person was honest. I believe that they actually were honest. I think they were taking advantage of the system to some degree, but I don't think they were being, you know, illegal or unlawful. I think they were being selfish and entitled.
Well, and what's important with this question is to stay with what you fondly remember. You don't have to give. Okay. That's part of still resentment coming up.
You got to be careful not to loop back around. Okay, so I fondly remember how they loyally served the owner.
Yes. Okay, good. And what's important is, like I said, exhaust it. And that's what will happen is if you don't get it all out, it'll leak out in other questions that – just like what – that
right.
was good. Okay, so the fourth question is, you still owe me. Fill in the blank.
Yeah, right. You still owe me the respect and an apology for being so out of line, just for stepping completely out of the areas that you were given authority over and questioning a number of people here.
Okay, good.
So you owe me respect and apology.
Good. Okay. Question number five. I still owe you. Fill in the blank.
You know, I still owe you a handshake and a man-to-man, eyeball-to-eyeball closure conversation where we acknowledge and go our separate ways without a lack of closure.
Excellent. Okay, question number six, the last one. Form a statement of goodbye.
Yeah, and it would be, I really appreciate you for really unknowingly putting me up against the wall with my unforgiveness and feeling so much inappropriate responsibility. And I am so grateful that you didn't leave this company before I had an opportunity to face that. So thank you for serving such a healing purpose. And I wish you well. I know that you found another job that probably will be more appropriate for what you're looking for. And I wish you well.
Mm-hmm. See, that's beautiful. Good. Now, when you go through that process, and let me ask, how are you feeling right now?
It's funny because it took a second, but there was a real sigh of relief. You know that sigh that comes with like a weight has been lifted?
Mm.
And one of the things that I know I've learned a little bit from you, Tamara, that you can have a conversation with a plant or a friend. Or, ideally it's a good listener. And you can heal a conversation even if it's not with the person that you've got the resentment with. So just innate being able to have this conversation with you, I feel like I've had it with him.
Mm.
So I really encourage those of you, it's a 6-step process. I got it wrong. I thought it was 5 steps. But there's 6 questions to answer. What I resent, what I regret, what I fondly remember, you still owe me, I still owe you, and a message of goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the 6 steps.
Mm-hmm. It will revolutionize just the way you deal with people and the way you walk and move through life. It's, it's our intention that is behind our words. You know, words are just 7% of a conversation. It's, there's a whole nonverbal tonality of communication that goes on constantly. And as we talked about, when you're squeezed, what's inside is what comes out. What do you want to come out of you? When push comes to shove, who do you get to be? in all of your situations, in your home life, in your work life, in your day-to-day interactions, imagine that there is no encounter that is by accident, but it's an opportunity to teach, to learn, to grow, to become better than you ever imagined yourself to be.
Well, okay, yeah, but how does somebody that doesn't have a PhD in psychology, that's just a you know, an honest, simple-minded person that's out there, and they're one of those mean people that's just like, you know, forgive, you cross my boundaries and you're going to pay the price. I don't need this, you know. They can't even imagine forgiving, let alone being forgiven. And yet they're walking around with that weight. How can somebody who doesn't have a PhD in psychology and has been to take these courses and done this work, how can they take the first steps?
Well, imagine that they're in perfect order exactly as they're showing up. Now, there would never be a need to forgive if there wasn't someone to forgive. So consider that this is like a superhero's journey, okay? So not everybody chooses to be one. And it's actually, imagine that it's okay if you choose to be that way. It's really okay. You give someone else an opportunity who actually wants to transcend that an opportunity.
Here's what I'm aware of right now. See, you're so good at this, and I'm just coming out of this for the first time. You clearly, and I know you. I know you very well. You don't walk around and hold a grudge. You have emotions, and they're very authentic emotions, and people cross you. You know, you let them know with a frown and in voice tone and body language. And yet I can see that, and for any listener on the line, you can see that Tamara has released this thing, but I'm still holding on to some sense of responsibility for, you know, getting people to, you know, let go or release or not be mean or whatever it is. And that's that thing that I'm unforgiven for. That's that angst that so many people are walking around with. So, you know, I'm sure you have people on the line right now, and they're justifying their commitment to justice and saying, you know, look, I like how I am. I like that if people cross me, I'm going to, Trump's wife said, I don't get even, I get everything. And that's kind of how people feel. It's like it's more a sense of justice than being forgiven. But my experience of feeling being forgiven was so much more rewarding than any sense of justice. Because it freed me from the game of give and take and having to equal the worry about whether someone was getting their dues. It freed me from the whole, from the entire game. But I'm still, as you can tell, you're further along than me.
Well, and here's what I used to tell my students when in my human sexuality course, you know, when they would struggle with forgiveness because someone had sexually assaulted them or they had experienced an abortion or whatever it was. And I encouraged them to stay in whatever phase served them for as long as they needed to stay there, because it's not going to be authentic otherwise. If you're going to force someone to say, hey, look, if you're going to be free, if you're going to be, you know, light, you're going to have peace, you have to do this. I don't even subscribe to that. Stay as pissed and stay as mad and stay as vengeful as long as you need to, as long as it serves you. Just remember that there is a possibility, there is an opportunity to choose otherwise when and if the time arises. But it does not serve you to judge you for that now or ever. Ever.
Well, so and we see the one place that I witnessed people feeling forgiven more than any place was a church. And I always thought it was some, you know, contrived, routine, people rolling their eyes while someone, you know, buckled down on their knees and they're sobbing and they're like, I'm forgiven. But I've come to realize that's real. That's actually happening, that they're feeling a weight lifted. And as you pointed out, it is self-forgiveness. It's very intimate between, you know, themselves and their higher power. But it actually is a physiological experience. Like, you know, they say when people die, they actually lose 28 grams. You know, when the difference between being alive and being dead is your body is 28 grams lighter after you've died. And I honestly believe that when people are feel forgiven, you literally can see that they're lighter. And that's what I felt. I mean, it was a weird burden that you don't even realize you're carrying around, like lifted off your shoulders. Now, here's what makes me suspicious. I'm listening to myself talk about these people that are mean and bullies and justice. And I'm listening to you and realizing that you're feeling more forgiven than me in a way that I can't even detect. Like, I can just hear it as a contrast in the conversation. So how can people, there may be people listening to this, and they, like, have no gauge for, like, am I unforgiven at a level 9 or am I unforgiven at a level 7? How can somebody tell whether they need to forgive or feel forgiven?
You know what? I think when they say, I'm done, you know, there is a threshold. There is a crossing over where, you know, it no longer serves. And I think to just wake up, just to be aware, is when how long does it, you know, I mean, people go on to do extraordinary things because of horrific tragedies they've been through. You know, someone who's been raped goes on to be a prosecutor against rapists. Walsh, the guy who did America's Most Wanted, he went on to do a television show because his son was decapitated and they never caught his killer. And so he used that as a surge for good on the planet. So everything, imagine if everything has its place, everything has its divine order, including the anger, including the rage, including doing something extraordinary with it. I mean, you know, manipulation, you know, Gandhi was manipulative and so was Hitler. It's up to us if what we choose to use it for. I choose to use it for good.
And you're the one that informed me that Hitler had a horrible upbringing where he was terribly abused by a Jewish teacher.
Oh, yes.
And so that's why he held this huge grudge. You know, and that unforgiveness is what caused all that. Now, you talk about Walsh. Walsh, this guy whose son was murdered horribly at what, he was 3-4 years old or something. How do you know, and what's the difference between Walsh, or was it, okay, what's the difference between Walsh starting this TV show, America's Most Wanted, because he's going to have justice, damn it, because his son was killed, and him starting it because his son was hurt and he just wants to prevent other parents from feeling that pain and doing everything he can to prevent them from having to go through the pain that he went through, such that his pain became his credential. There's a huge difference between getting even and turning, and your pain is your credential for healing others.
And I'll tell you, there is one thing that takes place that will guarantee that you will turn around and use it for good, or you will go on to perpetrate. Okay, there's one thing that happens. We can take a perpetrator, or we can take a victim, okay? And let's just say of sexual abuse. That's a very common one. So you've got a boy that's been sexually abused. If he goes on through life and sears his consciousness because he refuses to identify with his own pain of what he went through, he's bound to repeat the perpetration. Now, there's one thing that happens to a victim that will almost guarantee that he will not go on to perpetrate. And that's if that victim at some point in time turns towards himself in compassion for what he went through and has empathy for his own pain. That's what I was talking about in going through this process about what I resent, what I regret, what I fondly remember. You go through a process of honoring your own pain. If you do not identify with your own pain, you're bound to repeat it. If you identify with your pain, have compassion for what you went through, you will not go on to re-perpetrate.
You will turn for good. Yeah, and my experience of this was there was almost like a child, a very innocent child inside me, that that somehow I got in touch with how that innocent child way back when I was made to feel so guilty, and I hadn't done anything wrong, but when I finally got in touch with that, it was like abdominal sobbing, and you know, tears running down my cheeks and everything, and that's what you mean when you talk about going back and touching your pain, right?
Absolutely. Well, it's exactly, it's right in alignment with heart virtue work, because you had experienced humanity as being intolerable, so much so that you gave away everything you owned and became a monk for 8 years. Okay, and in that, just for our listening audience here, is one thing that Greg found inside of that silence when he really connected with his source, was that every human being has a virtue aching for expression on the inside. When we get past all the minutia, all the crap that we've ever been through, there is something virtuous inside of every human being. And if our listeners want to find out what that is, just go to www.heartvirtue.com and you can get your heart virtue online. But that's exactly what we're speaking to, Greg, is that there is something inside of every single one of us that is pure, that is innocent. In our innocence is our salvation. That is beyond sin, that is beyond guilt, that is beyond blame or shame. And the most beautiful part of ourselves is waiting to awaken underneath the baggage that we carry around of unforgiveness and of resentment.
Well, okay, so I had that experience, and look, I've never murdered anybody. I've never consciously, you know, beaten someone or shot someone. I've never hit anyone. Aside from, you know, defending myself from bullies in school, how can someone, you know, and I had a really tough time with this. 5 decades before I really went through a courageous process of considering that I was forgiven, considering that I was actually innocent and forgiven. And until then, until that happened, I was walking around with a mind that was constantly criticizing and judging people. How can somebody who actually has lost it and killed somebody, even if it was out of just a fit of rage and they didn't mean to, but they've done something, you know? There was a movie where some guy accidentally, gets in a car accident and his wife dies and he's left alive because he was texting while he was driving, and he kills himself and donates all his organs to other people to try and work that guilt out of his system. How can people that are that traumatized by their guilt be forgiven?
You know what? It's a process, and we'll wrap up with this. It's a process of remembering who you really are, and that there is no death. Ultimately, yes, we transcend from this body, but there's no culprit. Yes, we've made mistakes. We've encountered. Oh my God! I just heard of a woman who a photographer told her to jump off this boat on her wedding day because he wanted to get this amazing shot of her jumping into the ocean, and she drowned because the weight of her wedding dress. Okay, so you're speaking of things like that, that there is no intention behind it, or even if there was for other people, you know, things happen that are just beyond our control. And who do we get to be in light of what is showing up? You know, it's extraordinary what happens when we're cracked open with excruciating pain. We act like pain is a problem, or it shouldn't exist, or it shouldn't be. What if it's designed to wake us up like we've never been woken up before? What if they go on to do something for humanity that would have never been done otherwise? It's just like that line in Iron Man, where this guy goes on to help Iron Man go on to do something extraordinary for humanity. And Iron Man saying, I don't want to leave you. And he says, what you can do for me is go on and live well. You know, there's something
this is really where human beings become divine. And this is where you're talking about, you know, if it's true that your pain is your credential, the greater the pain you have, the greater the credential you have. And those are the people that you can really reach, which is a beautiful point. To end on. And for those of you, by the way, this is Max and Friends, Greg Montana, interviewing Tamara. If you want to get in touch with Tamara, go to heartvirtue.com. and you can ask her any questions. Her email address is there, her phone number is there. You can call her up, find out more about forgiveness and how you can experience that. Tamara, any closing thoughts here? You've explained brilliantly how people that experience tremendous guilt and have feel like they've done something unforgivable actually have been prepared to do something powerful for humanity after they have gone through that process of forgiveness and they realize that their pain is a credential for serving humanity, and maybe that was the only reason they went through that horrendous experience. But any closing thoughts?
Yes, that's exactly right. Your pain is your credential. It doesn't have to be your shame or your guilt. It's who you get to be because of whatever it is that you've been through and experienced. And, you know, that's kind of the inner circle that Max and I originally, when we were doing the show every week together, and he continues to create a space for people to be able to show up innocent, with self-expressed, and that who you are is beautiful. And remember that you are whole, that you are perfect, and you are complete exactly as you are, forever at peace in the heart of God. Go on to live an extraordinary life. And here at Max and Friends, we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. And you can hear this again and again and again on our recorded shows tomorrow and on LA Talk Radio. Ronan, who are we listening to?